This is my Bible. My Bible is the Word of God. And God's Word is the revelation of His will for my life. Whatever says I am, that's what I am. Whatever says I can do, I can do it. Whatever says I have, I claim it. In Jesus' name, Father, bless your people as they hear your word. And Father God, help me as I teach it and allow your spirit to flow through me in helping your people. Turn their hearts to and give enlighten their understanding. Open their eyes that they might see Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. Glory to God. You may be seated. We are continuing our study, praying through your problems, seven steps. Glory to God. There are seven steps to this. I would encourage you to follow all seven steps. I would encourage you to take notes and write this down if you have not done so already. And we started with the first step last week, last Sunday. Does anybody remember what the first step was?
Do not blame God.
Anybody else? Does anybody believe that Pastor Mary was just completely wrong in what she just said? That's it. There you go. No, you were right both times. Praise God. I just have to tease you, Pastor Mary. But anyway, yep. So Pastor Mary gets an A. The rest of y'all, Fs. But y'all can make up your grade. I'm gonna give you a chance next week to make up the grade. But Pastor Mary, so far, she's on the honor roll. The rest of y'all, well, we got to work on you. All right. So the first step in praying through your problems is be careful not to make God the source of your problem. Or don't blame God, praise God. We looked at Matthew chapter 7, and we looked at Matthew chapter 6 and 7, and saw that God is your Father, that He wants to bless you. He doesn't give you things to hurt you or harm you. When you ask God for bread, He doesn't give you a rock and say, chew on the stone, boy. When you ask God for a piece of fish, He don't say, here's a viper. Try to eat that if you can. God doesn't do any of that. When you ask God for bread, He gives you bread. Amen. When you ask God for a Mercedes, He doesn't give you a Volkswagen, all right? Well, you know, the Lord knew what I needed. He knew I needed this broken down, beat up Volkswagen to keep me humble, even though I can't make it to work on this thing every day. No, that's not my Father. That's not the kind of daddy I serve. If I asked my physical father for a new car, and he gave me a beat up, run down car that wasn't working, I wouldn't think very highly of my father, would you? Would you? Well, maybe you would, I don't know. You know, when I ask my parents for something, I expect to get something decent from them. When my kids ask me for something, I can't give them stuff that's going to make their lives more miserable. So God is a better father than a better parent than any of us, praise God. Yeah. We might pride ourselves on being good parents. We might pride ourselves on being the best parents in the world. But I tell you, you can't compare to God. He's the bestest parent in the whole universe. Praise Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Satan is the one who hates you. He's the one bringing all your problems. Remember 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. Matter of fact, turn to that with me. It's not in my notes, but I think I need to show you that. But because the Holy Spirit just brought it to me. See, Pastor Mary was praying that I would speak what the Holy Spirit wants me to speak. Praise God. So if we deviate, you can blame her for it. She prayed. When you see that Mary gets her prayers answered, glory to God. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5. We've taught from this scripture probably numerous times, but remember what I said, repetition is a good part of teaching. You hear it, and you hear it, and sooner or later, you'll get it, praise God.
Amen.
Right? All right. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, casting all your care upon Him, what? He careth for you. Say, God cares about me.
About me.
Now, look at this. Verse 8 goes on to say, but be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary... Who's your adversary?
The devil.
Is it God?
No. about you?
Father.
Who's the one who's your adversary?
Devil.
I mean, it's right here in the scriptures. I mean, it's kind of plain and clear. I never understand how people go around preaching that God will send you trials and tribulations to make you patient and grow your strength and make you strong. No! The devil's your adversary, praise God. God is the one, when you do have trials and tribulations, he's the one who strengthens you. The trials do not make you strong, praise God. When I was going through trials, I was weak. It was God who brought me up and made me strong. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
It was through his word that I was strengthened. So it said, be sober. That means be alert. That means be watchful. That's the problem with many in the churches. They're not watchful because they're continually looking at God and saying, God is doing this to me. And they're not watchful for who their real adversary, who their real enemy is. When you begin to recognize who your real enemy is, then you will begin to get more answers to prayer, because you will stop looking at God as your problem and you'll start looking at him as the answer to your problem. Praise God.
Amen.
So say this again. Say, God cares about me.
Cares about me.
The devil
is against me.
Praise God. So God is for you. He's not against you. Praise God.
Amen.
He is for you. He's the one who cares about you. He's the one who loves you. All right. So we also looked at Psalm 91 and Psalm 46, which talks about how God is your ever-present help in the time of trouble. And Psalm 91 talks about the fact that he will be with you in trouble, and you call upon him, and he will answer you, and he will deliver you, and he will honor you. God says that in the times of trouble, he's not the one who's going to make the turn the heat up a lot more to make it more hot for you. God is the one who's going to deliver you and honor you and even be with you in the midst of trouble, praise God.
Amen.
Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, for example, in the book of Daniel. God wasn't the one who sent them into the fire. It was King Nebuchadnezzar that sent them to the fire. Being influenced by Satan, King Nebuchadnezzar sent them boys into the fire. But guess what? God was with them, praise God.
Amen.
Now, God wasn't with the guys that threw them into the fire, because they got the soldiers that threw them into the fire, they got burned up. But then Nebuchadnezzar goes looking in the fire, and he sees three Hebrew boys doing like this. But not only does he see three, he sees a fourth person. And he says, that looks like a son of God, an angel. See, them boys was in the fire. They was boogieing down, praising the Lord, worshiping God. And God delivered them out of the fire, praise God. He didn't throw them into the fire. He delivered them out of the fire. So I don't understand how God's people have gotten such a distorted perspective of God, to where they think that God is the one causing all their problems, and so therefore they won't even run to him when they have the problem. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So now that we've gotten that straightened out, and we've emphasized that, and we beat that point down, let's look at the second one. The second step is to identify the problem accurately. So first step is to be careful not to make God the source of your problem. The second step is to identify the problem accurately. Praise God.
Amen.
So once you have removed from your mind the false idea that God is the source of your problem, then you begin to identify your problem accurately. Amen.
Amen.
Now, contrary to accusations by some of our critics, those of us who teach along the lines of faith, healing, miracles, and stuff like that, many of our critics will tell us that we deny the circumstances, that we practice mind science, cult type techniques, and instead of acknowledging that there's a problem, that we deny that there's a problem in the first place. That is not true at all. You can't have faith in God to deal with your problem until you first acknowledge the problem, praise God.
Amen.
I have I have never taught that. I don't know any other faith teacher that I've ever listened to have taught anything that crazy. That you will find that in the teachings of Mary Baker and Christian Science and Quimby and those type of cultic sources. But Christians who teach faith does not teach that you deny the problem, praise God. We simply teach that the word of God enables you to overcome and destroy the problem that's in your life, praise God. We teach that when you acknowledge God's word over your circumstances, then you will have victory over the problem, and the problem must go away. We acknowledge the word of God and not so much focus on the problem itself. Remember what we talked when we talked about being word focused or problem focused. You have to be word focused, but once you get word focused, you don't deny that there's a problem. You simply state that the word of God has given me victory already over the problem. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But then you can't really do that unless you identify the problem accurately. Too many times we look at the symptoms rather than the source of the problem. I have a toothache. It's not the toothache, it's not your problem. It's your teeth rotting, the cavity in there. You need to deal with the cavity, praise God.
Amen.
You can't just go and take pain medication just to deal with the toothache, because the toothache will come right back. So you need to go to the dentist and get that cavity taken care of, praise God.
Amen.
You have to accurately identify the problem in order to deal with the problem. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10. See, I was talking to somebody, I got a call yesterday from someone who had been watching our videos online, and she was almost scared to tell me her problem, because the teaching she had heard was, you're not supposed to talk about your problem. So then she says, Pastor, I need to tell you what's going on, but am I wrong for even telling you about the problem in the first place? I said, baby, I can't help you unless you tell me the problem. Praise God. I said, boy, this is right on time with teaching I'm doing tomorrow. And she begins to tell me the problem. I said, now that you told me the problem, I'm going to tell you the solution. Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, now it was a multitude of problems, but I thank God that we was able to help this sister. And we're sending her numbers of CDs of our teachings and stuff, because she doesn't have access to the computer all the time, and she needs to hear the teachings over and over again. So, what y'all doing here at Victoria's Word? It's not just your pastor. Your participation, the work that you do here, you are helping people all over the world. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, my face may be in the forefront, but it's you that are getting the rewards for this just along with me. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So continue to support the pastor. Continue to support this work. Continue to support this ministry. But the thing is that in order to deal with the problem, you've got to accurately identify it. And then you can find the right word from God to get the solution for the problem. Have you found Mark chapter 10 yet?
Mm-hmm.
All right, then wait for me to get there. Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 46. This is a blind man named Bartimaeus. And he was calling out to Jesus. And I just love this story because it's so ironic. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus. Now notice that it tells you exactly who this person is, right?
From what verse?
Verse 46. Is he deaf?
No.
He's blind.
The problem is already accurately identified. I need to point this out to you, because in a minute I want you to see something. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, Bartimaeus needed mercy, praise God. But that wasn't a total accurate description of his problem, praise God. Because we all need mercy. We all need mercy, don't we?
Yes.
But the thing is that sometimes we just throw it to God, God have mercy on me. And God is saying, tell me what you want. It's not just enough for you to say, God have mercy. Now, I mean, if you're in a desperate situation, sometimes that's all you can do, then praise God. And God will still have mercy on you. But still, if you got time, and most of us need to learn to take time and stop being lazy, we need to look and really evaluate our problem before we go to prayer and talk to God about it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And see, that's what Bartimaeus, he was just, God, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. In other words, they were saying, Bartimaeus, shut up. Oh, I'm so glad that Bartimaeus didn't shut up, praise God. Yeah. When you crying out to God and people tell you to shut up, you cry louder. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Don't pay no attention to people that tell you to shut up. And look at what he said, what he did. But he cried the more of a great deal. In other words, he said, I'm getting my blessing. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. But still, his cry was, have mercy on me. And he casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Verse 51. And Jesus answered and said unto him, now look at this. What was wrong with Bartimaeus? He was what?
Blind.
Yeah, Bartimaeus was blind, right?
Yes.
Now look at Jesus. Now here's Jesus, God Almighty, the creator of the universe, the creator of you and me, the one who knows everything that's going on, praise God.
Amen.
And here's a man who comes up to him. Everybody knows that Bartimaeus is blind. But look what Jesus says to him. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? In other words, Bartimaeus, what do you want? Now, what was wrong with Bartimaeus? What was wrong with Bartimaeus? He was blind. So why would Jesus ask him what he want? Don't Jesus know what Bartimaeus want? Don't he? Don't you think he knows? Now, just because God knows doesn't mean that you're not supposed to accurately identify your problem and give it to him, praise God. Jesus is still waiting for you to tell him what it is you want. You are, like the song says, to call him up, tell him what you want. You should call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. You need to accurately identify your problem and take it to God. It doesn't matter whether he is the omniscient one. He is the one who knows all that is going on in the universe and that there is nothing hidden from his eye. He still wants you to tell him accurately what it is you need. Just like Jesus, he didn't say, oh, Bartimaeus, I see you're blind. You want me to heal you? That may not be what Bartimaeus wanted. He may have been blind, but maybe he liked being blind. He may have been saying, Jesus, I need some money.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, can you let me borrow? I hear you, the God of all the universe. Can you let me borrow a couple of hundred dollars? Can you give me some of that silver and gold that belongs to you? That might be what Bartimaeus wanted. He may not have wanted to be healed of his blindness, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why Jesus said, Bartimaeus, what is it do you want? Now, Bartimaeus may have been saying, well, Lord, you know I'm blind, but I ain't got no seeing eye dog. Can you get me a seeing eye dog, God? And Jesus would have said, okay, is that what you want? Let me get you a seeing eye dog. No, Jesus wanted to know exactly what Bartimaeus wanted, praise God.
Amen.
And thank God that Bartimaeus was a man of faith. He said, the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So you need to accurately identify your problem. You need to find, really look and evaluate what it is you are dealing with. And stop dealing with the symptoms. Amen. For example, those of us who are married, We need to just stop asking God, God, bless my marriage. What's the problem with your marriage? Bless my marriage is not really an accurate prayer request, praise God. You take the time out to fuss with your husband or your wife. You need to take the time out to figure out, why are we fussing? What is going on? What is the problem? What is the issue between me and my wife or me and my husband? And you need to really evaluate things and stop looking at just your spouse. You know, God, what is the issue with her? Or wife, what's the issue with him? What's his problem? No, you need to accurately identify and evaluate the whole thing. Maybe it's you. I remember my first pastor's wife, you know, she's pastoring the church in Bakersfield, California, Compassion Christian Center. Her husband, who was my first pastor, he's passed away, and now my spiritual mother, she's pastoring the church. But I remember when she was teaching us some years ago on marriage. And she began to talk about how she was always praying for her husband to change. And she said God spoke to her and said, why don't you pray for yourself to change? And then I'll change your husband. She didn't like that. But she obeyed and she began to do that. She began to pray for herself. And she said that as she began to pray for herself, God began to show her areas of her own life where that needed changing. She'd adjust them, and when she started changing, her husband started changing, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So, it's not enough to just say, God, bless my marriage. Lord, save my marriage. Find out what the problem is with your marriage. Take it to God. Take it accurately to God. Take the time out. Stop being so lazy, saints. I'm serious. Stop being lazy. You got to really think things through. Just like you would do with your bosses. Just like you would do with other people, just stop throwing stuff up to God. Begin to sit there. Before you go before the King of Kings of all the universe, why don't you sit down and prepare what you're going to say to your Father. Praise God.
Amen.
Yes, he may know what you're going to say. He may know what's going to come out your mouth. But that doesn't mean you don't speak it. He's still waiting for you to say it before he does anything. Praise God. Amen. And the other thing, God, help my finances. What's the real problem with your finances? Are you not tithing? Maybe you need to look at that. Do I have a job? Maybe you need a job, praise God. Maybe that's where instead of saying, God, help my finances, look at what the cause of your finances is. Do you need God to help you understand budgeting? Praise God. Maybe that's where the problem is at. Let me show you a couple of scriptures. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I want to help y'all. You're going to have to learn to identify your problems so that, you know, that way you can go to the next step and find the scriptures that actually cover and deal with your problem. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. See, I've learned this over the years. I just throwing stuff at God and saying, God, help me deal with this. God, help me deal with that. That wasn't working for me. People wonder, why didn't God answer my prayers? The reason why is because you don't give it to him accurately half the time. You don't really deal with the issue that's going on. You just want God to do some magical thing and make it all disappear. That's what many people are looking for. But that's not what God is in the business of doing. God is raising children. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. It's a bad parent that doesn't allow their children to see and understand the problems that they're, the real issues that they're dealing with. And instead of that, they rescue them all the time. That way you're not teaching that child no responsibility. And then when they get out on their own, they don't know what in the world they're doing. They don't even know how to rent an apartment. They don't know how to get a driver's license. They don't know how to do anything. It's a sad parent that spoils their child like that, that always wants to solve all their children's problems. No, sometimes you got to let them kids solve their own problems, praise God.
Amen.
You dare to pick them up if they fall, but you got to let them fall sometimes. God is not going to spoil his children. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's there to pick you up when you fall. He's there to deal with your issues, but he expects you to do some work and really evaluate yourself and look at, where am I failing? Where am I going wrong? And what do I need to do to adjust this thing? That's how you get through some of these issues that you are dealing with in your life. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. If you ain't working, you shouldn't be eating. I think that's simple, ain't it? That's just plain and to the point. That's just like, I mean, you can't even, there's no need for exegesis or a hermeneutical breakdown. There's no need to look to the Greek and break down particular words here. This is just plain. There's no need to go through 20 different English translations to understand this one. I mean, the King James Version right here just says it. If you ain't working, neither should you be eating. Praise God. If you ain't, if you hungry, you got a problem with the finances, look at, maybe you need a job, okay? Well, Pastor Troy, I'm just gonna stay home and live by faith. Well, more power to you. You won't starve. We'll have your funeral, and we'll say this brother lived by faith, and now he's dead. See, you need to learn to accurately identify your problem, and your problem may be you don't have a job. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 with me. Are y'all getting what I'm trying to teach you here? What I'm trying to teach you here is that prayer takes a little bit more work than what we give it sometimes. Prayer is not just a matter of, well, let me just get on my knees and just throw all these things at God. Sometimes it's okay to do that sometimes. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes it's okay to do that. Other times, when you know that you're dealing with a real issue, and if you really is wanting God to answer the issue or to deal with the issue with you, you've got to sit down and really look at what is going on and what am I dealing with, and then go to God and say, God, this is what I'm dealing with. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, Pastor Troy, I think you're preaching good on this one. I know everybody else don't see it, but you're preaching good, man. Thank you, Pastor Troy. All right. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Praise God. You want to have some money in your pocket? You telling me you want to help people that don't have anything? Get a job. Get a job. You got to get a job. Praise God. So if you haven't, and I'm just picking on one particular thing, but we're talking about a multitude of things. I mean, sometimes you might need to ask God to give you wisdom in helping you to budget in your finances, because you just keep taking that credit card and you just keep shopping online, and then you walking through the mall and then you see something you want and you just buying that, and then you crying, God, I'm in debt. God, help me, please. No. You need to ask God to give you wisdom on how to budget. You need to ask. The real problem is you need to stop being a compulsive shopper. You need to ask God to deliver you from always having to keep up with the Joneses. Praise God.
Amen.
Your problem is not the bills themselves. Your problem is that you are compulsive and you need deliverance. Praise God.
Amen.
So that's what we're talking about in accurately identifying your problem. So, you having problems on the job? Problems with children? Whatever your problem is, you need to identify it accurately. And if you don't feel that you can identify it accurately, then you need to ask the Holy Spirit to help you, as my pastor's wife did, who's now the senior pastor of the church. She asked God to help her deal with whatever issues she was having. I mean, for example, you having problems on the job? Why are you having problems on the job? Are you doing your job? Have you read the manuals? Have you asked for help? Have you sought for help? Why is your boss persecuting you? You know, sometimes Peter said that some of the persecution we get is not because we're living right for God, it's because we've been foolish, praise God. So some of the persecution, you can't blame on the devil. You can't say, well, you know, Pastor, the devil's attacking me. But you've been calling in sick when you ain't sick because you want to watch your favorite program on TV. Or you've been coming to work and putting your feet up on the desk. You've been eating lunch and taking breaks and always at the water cooler instead of doing your work. And then you don't work any overtime. You don't come in. You come in late. You leave early. And then you wonder why your boss is persecuting you. If I was your boss, I would persecute you too, praise God. Amen. Matter of fact, I would probably fire you. And you say, but you're supposed to be a Christian. Yep, I sure am. You're fired. And it's just like I say, if I was a policeman, just because I'm a Christian don't mean I won't write tickets if I'm a policeman. As a policeman, I would be doing my job. I see you speeding, and I stop, I pull you over. Oh, Pastor, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, sister. You were going 65 in a 45-mile zone. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, but I'm going to be at church Sunday. Oh, praise God. I'd be happy to see you, but you were going 65 in a 45-mile zone. Can I see your license, please? I would do it. You better be glad I'm not a policeman, because I will do it. I got pulled over a couple of years ago. I was coming back from New Jersey, just speeding all the way, while I was listening to my gospel teaching on my CD player. So I'm just praying in tongues, driving, speeding, listening to the teaching. And finally, I got the road out, and I thought I was home free. I'm going 85 in a 65-mile-per-hour zone. Yeah. The policeman came up behind me. Then I slowed down. I thought I was okay. Then he turned on his lights. And then he says, license and registration, please. And I put my head down. But you know what the first thing I said? I said, God, forgive me. I was wrong. Praise God. Amen. And that policeman, after he came back, and he saw this Jesus cap that Pastor Steven bought me. I had it sitting on the side, and he heard the teaching and stuff like that. And so he came back, he was apologizing. He said, you know, God bless you, I'm really sorry I have to give you this ticket. I said, officer, I said, you are doing your job. I said, that was my fault, not yours. I mean, he was really apologizing profusely. He said, you know what, if I hadn't already started the process, I wouldn't have given this ticket to you. You know, God bless you. I said, officer, you are doing your job. Thank you. I said, it was my fault. Praise God. Amen. You need to own up to stuff. You got to accurately identify what the issue is and deal with it. You on the job and you not doing your job right, then, and you being persecuted for it, that's your fault. Not God, not the devil, not God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, get yourself straightened out. Now, and sometimes you will go, I've gone through persecution when I know I was doing a great, fantastic job, praise God. And I still went through persecution. So I know it wasn't me. And God delivered me, hallelujah. Amen. But there was also times where I was getting in trouble for doing things on a job that I wasn't supposed to be doing. For example, way back in the 80s, you know, I was super Christian. And I just had to witness to everybody that came through my office. I'm witnessing to people. I'm playing my Fred Price tapes on cassette out loud right there on my desk where everybody can hear it. I mean, I was just doing everything. And instead of doing my work, I was doing the work of the Lord, is what I thought I was doing. And one day my boss calls me over. He says, Troy, he says, there's been a lot of complaining about you. He said, you're playing your Christian stuff real loud. You're always trying to proselytize everybody and make them come be like Jesus. And he says, I know you're a strong Christian and everything. He says, but we need you to do your work. He says, if you're going to talk to people, you can. He said, I'm not going to stop you from talking to people, but talk to them at lunchtime and lower your stuff. You know, when I was mad, I got before God and said, God, he's persecuting me. God said, no, he's absolutely right. He said, I put you there to be a light, and part of your light is to do the work as unto me and not as unto men. Praise God. Amen. That woke me up, and I said, well, I need to change my ways. Praise God. So I still remain super Christian. I just learned to say, hey, I'll buy you lunch. You want to go to lunch with me? I got a lot of no's on that, but praise God. Hallelujah. Let's look at one more passage of scripture. Turn with me to Mark chapter 2. Here's what I'm trying to get across to y'all. Don't pray about stuff until you first really understand what it is you're bringing before God. Amen?
Amen.
Don't just throw stuff at God. God, have mercy on me. God, bless this. Bless me on my job. God, help me with my finances. Look at things. Look at where the problem is at, and then talk to God. Sometimes things happen. You know, some things we can't help. Sickness comes, and bills pile up. Then you go to God and you ask God to help you. And, you know, God will sometimes supernaturally take care of the finances for you. Praise Jesus. God, that's the kind of God he is. I remember years ago when we were at this military housing unit. And my wife took a pot, and a hot pot off the stove, and put it on the porcelain counter and burnt a nice little hole on that porcelain counter. You know, we were young. We were in our early 20s, so, you know, I can excuse her for it. But she left, went back to Japan. I had to clean up the military housing. They came in to do the inspection. They saw that hole, and they said, Sergeant Edwards, well, we're going to have to charge you for this. So I thought maybe it'd be $10, $15. They came back a day later, said it's going to be $200. Now, this is 1985. And I wasn't making a lot of money. $200, you might as well have said $2,000 to me back then. You might as well have said $20,000, because that was a lot of money. I didn't have $200, okay? And so I'm sitting here trying, figuring out, how am I going to get this $200? Where am I going to get it from? And I began to talk to God. I said, Father, I don't know what to do about this. I said, but I've been paying my tithes. I've been giving my offerings, God. So help me. A day later, as I was finishing up, cleaning up the yard and everything, the inspector drives up and he says, Sergeant Edwards. So I said, okay, here we go again. And he says, come here. I said, sir, what can I do for you? Forget it. I said, huh? He says, forget it. Don't worry about the money. And then drives off. See, God will do things like that for you, praise God.
Amen.
Now, see, I could have asked God for $200. I could have said, God, I need $200. But that wasn't the problem. The problem was that they were trying to charge me for this hole. So I didn't want that. I did not need to limit God to how he was going to answer. Just take the problem to God and let God deal with it the way he finds best, praise God.
Amen.
Now, God, I mean, back then, God may have given me the $200, and I might have said, oh, glory to God, I got $200, and took all my friends out to dinner. Mm-hmm. Instead of paying for that porcelain hole. So, thank God that God knows best how to deal with an issue. You just bring the accurate issue to him accurately, and then he will take care of the problem, praise God.
Amen.
All right, let's look at one last scripture, Mark chapter 2. And we'll close out after this. You getting anything out of this today?
Yeah.
Praise God. See, if you follow these steps, I'm not saying that you got to follow the formula to the T. Don't become legalistic about this stuff, okay? This is not a legalistic formula. It's just simply steps that will help you to be organized in your prayer time. God may show you other things, but as your pastor, I'm helping you in a practical way to understand how to at least begin approaching God in your prayer time. See, we're not the Catholic Church. You don't go to the priest and get the priest to pray to all the different saints and ask God to, and finally, one of the saints finally gets to Jesus, or Mary gets to Jesus, and then Mary gets your blessing for you. No, you are a priest, praise God.
Amen.
Every last one of us are a part of the royal priesthood. You have every right to go to God as any apostle, any prophet, any pastor, or any teacher, praise God,
Amen.
Or any evangelist. You have the utmost right to go to God as anybody else. There's no big I's or little U's in the kingdom, praise God. See, I may be up here bringing forth the word of God to you, but that doesn't make me better than you. That doesn't make me bigger than you. This is just an assignment that God has given me. God may not have given you the assignment to come up here and speak. Not all of us can come up here and speak, praise God. There's not enough room for all of us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. But God has given you a specific assignment in this church, and you can pray concerning that assignment and pray accurately, and God will bless you. And when we're all standing before Jesus, you won't have to sit there and get jealous and say, man, pastor getting all those rewards just because he's the pastor. No, some of y'all might get bigger awards than me because you were praying for me. It's just like a man, I don't know why I'm going in this direction, but maybe somebody needs to hear this. I was just talking to my wife yesterday about a man of God who was preaching at this spirit-filled Catholic church. And he went to the Catholic church, and just before he was about to preach, these nuns came and laid hands on him and began praying for him. They was praying for him in tongues. He said he ain't never seen that before, nuns praying in tongues. But they prayed for him, and then a strong anointing of God came on him, and he went out, and he brought forth the word of God, and hundreds of people got saved that day. Praise God. And so he said he was on the airplane and heading back home. He's talking to himself, saying, how am I going to humbly tell my congregation about this? And he said the Lord spoke to him and said, you didn't do anything. It was the nuns that prayed for you that did that. It was because they prayed for you that all that happened. You didn't do a thing. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So don't think that because a man of God is up here, he's bringing forth the word of God, that he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. It's because of y'all prayers that the anointing is strong on me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's because of y'all prayers that I'm able to give you the word of God. And by extension, I am able to be a blessing to others outside of this congregation who want our CDs, who want our tapes, who listen to us online. Praise God. We're going to be on television soon. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're going to be streaming our services from here live on the internet every Sunday pretty soon. Praise God.
Amen.
And all of that is going to be because of you being committed and dedicated to the work that God has assigned us here at Victorious Word. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. This church is going to do great things for God. But we got to learn to pray. Say pray.
Pray.
We got to learn to fast. Say fast.
Fast.
Because God ain't going to do it without our prayer and our fasting. That's why I'm trying to teach you how to deal with your own issues so that you can learn to put your issues aside and move on and help pastor with this work that God, this great work God has called us to do. How many of y'all know that we got a great work ahead of us?
Yeah.
How many of y'all are excited about it?
Yeah.
Man, that don't sound like excitement to me. When I'm excited, I go, glory! Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, let's look at this and let's get ready to go home. Mark chapter 2. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy. What was wrong with this guy? He was sick of the palsy. He was paralyzed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now notice this was a problem that they identified, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. What was his problem?
Paralyzed.
Paralyzed, sick of the palsy. Now look, look at Jesus. Look at what Jesus does. Verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the, what was he?
Simon.
He was paralytic. He said to the sick of the palsy, notice what Jesus says. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. What was his real problem?
He's paralyzed.
Sin. There you go. All right. You all get C minuses on that one.
Sin.
All right. I won't grade you on that one, all right? No, his problem was sin. Say sin.
Sin.
See, not all, now, don't misunderstand me, not all sickness is the result of sin, praise God. But some sicknesses are. And sometimes we stay sick because we feel condemned by our sin. So Jesus had to identify the real issue with him first, which was that he was in condemnation over his sin and he needed forgiveness. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, you know, some of them religious folks got upset, just like they do now. How dare you? Who do you think you are? Only God can forgive sins. And so Jesus said, just to show you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, let me speak to him. Son, take up thy bed and walk. Praise God.
Amen.
But first, Jesus had to deal with the real problem first. See, the paralysis was simply a symptom. The real problem was he had sinned and he needed to come from under the condemnation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Many of y'all problems probably really need to look at what sin did I commit in my life that caused me to have to this problem I'm having today. And then, once you've done that, then take it before God. And when God says, I forgive you, as cleansed, don't bring it up again. Amen?
Amen.
And then believe God for deliverance from the problem, from the symptom of the real issue. That because now that you've been forgiven, now believe God for deliverance. Praise God.
Amen.
Jesus said, or James, the brother of Jesus, says in the book of James, he says that if there's any sick among you, call for the elders of the church, let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And if he has committed any sins, that's an if he has committed any sins, they shall be forgiven. Praise God. God is willing to forgive you and heal you. God doesn't want you living in your sin. He doesn't want, and he doesn't want you being condemned forever by your sin. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I may not have been a mass murderer or a rapist or any of that kind of thing, but I've committed some doozies in my life. I've done some people wrong. I've stabbed some people in the back. I've hurt some people badly. I've just done some things that were wrong. How about you?
Mm-hmm.
How many of y'all have done those things?
Yes.
Or done things similar to that? Yeah, we've all done it. We've all guilty. We've all been bad.
Yeah.
We've all been bad little boys and girls. We all need forgiveness. Praise God.
Amen.
You know what? I don't feel condemned, not one bit, to this day.
Amen.
About any of the things I did. You know why? Because I received my Father's forgiveness for them. Praise God.
Amen.
And anybody I've hurt, I've reconciled it with them. I've dealt with the issue. I've talked to the person or whatever it is I did wrong. I have dealt with the issue. All doors are closed. I'm not condemned. And that's why I'm healthy and free and living for Jesus. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Did you get anything out of this?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Praise God. Mars, you said a lot. I'm happy about that, man. Mars is my main man. Praise God. Hallelujah. Bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm going to pray for you.